Welcome to the Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, and before we get into today's material, just a quick bit of housekeeping.
Right.
You can find all of Pastor Tim Travis's sermons on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Just head over to the website, faithwayfbc.com, for more information.
Lots of great stuff on there.
Definitely. So our mission today is to explore two interconnected messages from Pastor Tim Travis.
Yeah, these two really go hand in hand.
They do. The first is From Milk to Meat, which is a study in 2 Peter. And the other is Hosanna to the King, which takes a hard look at Matthew 21.
And we're really unpacking the journey from spiritual infancy all the way to, you know, true mature worship.
Right. The exact steps needed to grow in faith. And then we'll use the events of Holy Week to understand what it actually means to surrender to God's plan instead of, well, our own expectation.
Which is a lot harder than it sounds.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as I was listening to Pastor Tim Travis, I kept thinking about assembling a complex piece of furniture.
Oh, no, like the flat pack stuff.
Yes, exactly. You get those three heavy boxes and a manual the size of a phone book.
And you just want to skip to the end.
Right. But you can't just throw the pieces together randomly. There's a really intentional blueprint. If you skip a step, the whole thing might look okay for a day, but eventually it wobbles.
Yeah, you sit on it and it collapses.
Exactly. Spiritual growth is like that. You cannot skip steps.
That's a great way to look at it because, you know, before we can talk about the peaks of true worship, we have to talk about the foundation.
And the reality of falling.
Right. And Pastor Tim Travis guides us through this using someone who famously stumbled, the Apostle Peter.
Peter is just, I mean, he's so relatable.
He really is. He didn't just know about spiritual immaturity in theory. He lived it.
Yeah, he rushed ahead, talked when he should have listened, and fell asleep in the garden when he's supposed to pray.
And then ultimately denied Jesus three times.
Which brings up a really crucial distinction Pastor Tim Travis makes. And this is based straight out of the KJV phrasing. Yeah, this is important. It is impossible to fall from God's grace. Like, you cannot lose your salvation. John chapter 10 makes that super clear.
Right, you are secure.
But, and this is a big but, it is very possible to fail of or fall in the grace of God.
Like we see in Hebrews 12.
Exactly. Falling brings shame, and it affects having an abundant entrance into heaven.
Well, and to synthesize why this matters, think about when a baby is born.
Okay.
It has all the equipment it needs for life, right? The lungs, the legs, everything is there.
Right.
Similarly, Christians are born again with what Peter calls divine power and all things pertaining to life and godliness.
So they don't need new parts.
Exactly. They just need growth. They need to develop the muscle.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if we already have all the equipment we need, why is it so easy to trip up and fall into old habits, like Peter did?
Well, having the equipment doesn't mean you automatically know how to use it. That's why Peter emphasizes giving diligence.
Ah, so it takes actual effort.
A lot of effort, because we are prone to falling. Peter doesn't just say, hey, try to do better.
Right, he gives us the furniture manual.
Exactly. He provides this highly specific, sequential blueprint of traits to add to our faith.
So we aren't barren or unfruitful.
Right. And it builds on itself.
Why?
So you start with faith, and to that, you add virtue.
Which is like moral courage or excellence.
Right. Then to virtue, you add knowledge. The factual biblical why behind those morals.
Okay, wait. So faith, then courage, then knowledge.
Yeah. And then to knowledge, you add temperance, which is self-control over your passions.
Pastor Tim Travis made a great point about that. Having knowledge without temperance just makes you arrogant.
Oh, absolutely. You become a Pharisee.
Yeah. So after temperance,
you add patience, steadfast endurance, especially against spiritual warfare.
And this was a huge moment in the sermon for me. Pastor Tim Travis notes that the devil tries to isolate you.
Make you feel completely alone in your struggle.
Right. But the patience we find in Scripture, it actually insulates you.
Yeah, that's such a powerful word picture. Isolation versus insulation.
It really is. So we've got patience. What's next?
Next is godliness, which is basically worshiping well, avoiding that prideful Pharisee-like behavior. Mm-hmm. Then brotherly kindness, loving your church family reciprocally. And finally, charity.
Biblical, unconditional love for the unlovely.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is that these aren't just random bullet points. The Holy Spirit authored this exact order.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. If you look at that list It starts entirely internal.
Oh, yeah.
Like virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, that's all inside work.
It's all personal character.
Right. It doesn't move external to brotherly kindness and charity until the very end.
Because you can't truly love others until your own internal house is in order.
Wow. Yeah, that makes so much sense. You have to be right on the inside first.
And that internal progression, it peaks at godliness, worshiping well.
Which is hard to do.
It is. And to see a masterclass in what happens when people fail to worship well, Pastor Tim Travis takes us to Palm Sunday.
In Matthew 21.
Right. It's the ultimate example of misguided worship.
Because the crowds were doing all the right external things,
yeah.
Right? They threw down palm branches.
Which is the biblical symbol for victory.
And they were shouting Hosanna.
But Hosanna isn't just a happy greeting. It's a literal war cry from Psalm 118. It means, save us, we pray.
So they were praising Jesus loudly, calling him a prophet, but they completely missed who he actually was.
They wanted a conquering king. They wanted political deliverance from Rome right then and there.
But Jesus came as a suffering lamb to provide deliverance from sin.
Right. We do this all the time, don't we? We praise God, but we don't fully understand what he's doing.
We want our circumstances fixed.
Exactly. The crowds wanted circumstantial release, but Jesus came to address the greater need.
The sickness of the heart.
Yeah. And Pastor Tim Travis makes this incredible point. You don't have to fully understand God to fully trust him.
It's like asking a doctor for a painkiller for a headache, but the doctor insists on performing open heart surgery.
That's a great analogy.
It feels like this massive disconnect. You're just asking for relief and he's doing a major operation.
Which is painful.
Yeah. I mean, have you, the listener, ever been frustrated with God because he wasn't fixing your immediate circumstances?
Only to realize later he was working on that much deeper, greater need.
Exactly. He's doing the heart surgery.
And Jesus wasn't swept up in that crowd's misunderstanding at all. His path to the cross was profoundly intentional.
It's the ultimate display of temperance and charity.
Yes. Pastor Tim Travis points out that riding the ass and the colt, it wasn't just a spontaneous whim.
Right. It was a deliberate fulfillment of Zechariah 9.
God never operates on a whim.
Never. And he had so much power, Jesus could have called legions of angels.
And Pastor Tim Travis reminds us, one single angel in the Old Testament wiped out an army of over 100,000.
That's terrifying power.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, his kingdom is not of this world.
It's the ultimate contrast in surrender. You look at Philippians 2, Jesus humbles himself and becomes obedient unto the death of the cross.
And then you contrast that with the rich young ruler.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to follow Jesus, but he walked away sorrowful because he couldn't surrender his wealth.
He tried to serve God and mammon.
And you just can't do that.
No. True worship, like Romans 12:1 says, it requires presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice.
This is a dead one, a living one.
Exactly. God doesn't want robotic compliance. He wants the heart.
Which is the control center of the intellect, the emotion, and the will. Right. Proverbs 3:5.
Right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And because God is so intentional, the historical details of the sacrifice matter immensely.
Yeah, Pastor Tim Travis urges us not to gloss over the specifics.
Because the timeline of Holy Week is actually often really misunderstood.
This part blew my mind.
Yeah, Pastor Tim Travis points out that Jesus likely met for the Lord's table in the upper room on Tuesday evening.
Tuesday, not Thursday.
Right, immediately followed by Gethsemane.
Which means the nighttime trial was completely illegal.
Entirely. They broke around 12 different Jewish and Roman laws just to get a conviction.
Wow. And then Pilate. He was just a coward.
Yeah, his own wife suffered nightmares about this just man, but he still caved to the mob.
And here's the biggest timeline shift. Pastor Tim Travis explicitly states that Good Friday is a myth.
A total myth.
Yeah.
Because it is mathematically impossible to get the prophesied 3 days and three nights in the grave. If he died on Friday.
Okay, let's actually map this out because my brain needs to hear the math.
Sure. If he goes into the grave on Friday evening.
Okay, so Friday night is one night.
Saturday day is one day.
Saturday night's two nights.
And then he rises before dawn on Sunday.
That's only two nights and one day.
Exactly. You can't get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday crucifixion.
Wow. So what does this all mean? Why does Pastor Tim Travis emphasize these timeline details so heavily?
Because it proves the absolute reliability of Scripture.
Jesus fulfilled the prophecies down to the letter.
Down to the exact hour, which proves we can trust the known God with our unknown future.
I love that phrase. Trust the known God with our unknown future.
Yeah, if he managed the cross with that precision, he can manage whatever you're going through.
So To kind of bring this all together, moving from milk to meat, it requires the deliberate addition of virtue, then knowledge, then temperance.
You have to follow the blueprint.
Right. Leading to a godliness that allows us to worship well.
Which means surrendering our expectations.
Just as Jesus intentionally surrendered to the cross.
He didn't demand his own way. He submitted to the Father's plan.
So as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Pastor Tim Travis noted that the crowds on Palm Sunday missed the moment because they were looking for a completely different kind of king.
They wanted the political fix.
Right. So think about your own life right now. Are you so focused on praying for God to change your circumstances or, you know, defeat your enemies that you are completely missing the profound, quiet heart surgery he's actively trying to perform within you today?
Don't miss the moment.
Exactly. Let him do the internal work.